Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. And when a great crowd was gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God goes out from my mouth and does not return empty to me, says the Lord, through the holy prophet Isaiah. And what that means is the word of God accomplishes that which it sets out for. It does not return empty. Well, what is that purpose? It's a good question to ask. It is to bring fallen dead sinners back to the Father. These sinners who have been enslaved to Satan, now released from their bondage to come to the Father. The question is, though, if this is the case, why does it seem like it doesn't? Why, when we tell people about what Jesus has done for us, right, why does the gospel not take root in them? Why do our children who have been baptized, who have been bathed in the word of God himself, they've been given these radiant white robes, who've been wrapped in the word every week in and out in the apostolic preaching of the gospel, who even take the word Jesus Christ onto their tongues in the sacrament? Why, when many people are met with the world, do they turn away from Christ and not come back? Why is Christianity in this country only a shell of what it was 100 or 50 or even 30 years ago? And it is. The parable of Jesus that he tells about this sower gets straight to the heart of the matter. A man goes out to sow seed, and he scatters it where? Everywhere. Right? He's indiscriminate. He just tosses it everywhere. And this, for those of you who are gardeners, probably struck you the wrong way, right? Because that's not how we sow seed. That's not how human beings sow seed. We do so carefully. This is irresponsible, almost. But this sower is the Lord God Almighty. And the seed which he sows is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the power of God unto salvation. And he sows it everywhere. And what the sower sows is literally Jesus himself. Right? It's the gospel, it's the word, but it's literally Jesus himself, which is a fitting analogy, right? If you go all the way back to Genesis 3, what is the promise there? Well, that the seed of Eve will triumph over Satan. And here we have that in the man Jesus Christ. So it's a fitting analogy with the seed here. Now, where we might think, and you don't have to raise your hand if this is you, where some of us might think that some people are more deserving than others, right? The honest, hard-working husband over the guy that comes and steals your stuff in the middle of the night, right? The virtuous mother over the murderer, right? And on and on and on. This is not the way that God sees things, right? His justice is not like our justice. His ways, right? The prophet says right before our Old Testament lection today, are so far above our ways. They are so far, as far as the east is from the west, and as high are the heavens above the earth, are his ways different than our ways. And thanks be to God for that. Because as I said last week, you and I would make great gods, right? No, we would make terrible gods. And when he sows the gospel, right? When the Lord sows the gospel, he's indiscriminate. And he casts it to the four corners of the earth. And so then there are four different kinds of ground then that we see that this seed falls upon that we need to take a look at. Because guess what? You're one of them. You're one of them. There's the path or the road, right? That's the first. The second one is the rocky soil. The third is the thorny soil. And then lastly, the good soil. Good soil. And the soil which the seed falls on indicates the various conditions of the human heart. So, hear them well. First, there is the heart that is the path, right? The road, if you will. This is the unbelieving, hardened heart, right? This is the person that hears the gospel, right? Hears the Father calling him back to himself through the work, through the cross, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what the problem with this man's heart is who is on the path? In their heart, they do not really believe that they need forgiveness. Right? Jesus talks about this all the time. Right? I'm a good person, they say. You know, I don't what? I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't use bad language, you know, everything I do is just, you know, pretty. I take all of the junk that I don't want anymore in my closet, and I take it to Goodwill. I'm a great person, you know, I'm so loving and caring, right? If you say that Jesus died for sinners, that's not me, right? That's you people. That's not me, right? I'm doing all right. I'm pulling my own over here just fine. Besides, you know, Christians are all hypocrites and, you know, mean and hate each other. Why would I want to be a part of a community of the Holy Spirit? You hear this kind of stuff. Pastors hear this kind of stuff. You see, the hardened heart of man is the refusing, obstinate heart, which is why we need weekly at least, to have our memory jogged, right? To be, right? I am a sinner. If I say I have no sin, then what am I doing? I'm deceiving myself, and the truth is not in me, right? We need to confess that from the Epistle of St. John every week. We need to say, we need to do it every day. Right, I would commend that to you. Do it every day, because by God, we need it. Because if we don't believe that, Right? If we don't believe that fundamental truth of anthropology, of who we, of what human beings are, then the gospel is going to bounce off of our heart like a ball off the ground, right? And the birds, which in the parable is who? Satan. The birds are going to come along and snatch us away and devour us. Pastor Luther said that the gospel is like rain that falls over the land for a time. Right? For only a time. But as the people grow tired of it, when their fortitude fails, it moves somewhere else. Right? It leaves a drought and a famine behind. And in this land, my brothers and sisters, we are coming dangerously close to a drought and to a famine of the Word of God. People are being brought up to follow their hearts instead of the Word of God. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You maybe even said it yourself and given this counsel to a friend or your children. Don't ever tell your children to follow their heart. If you disagree with me, read in the Bible what Jesus says about following your heart. That all sorts of wickedness arises from where? Out of the heart, right? Bad advice, don't follow it, right? But we're teaching our children this, right? We're being led, it's all in our culture. We are, you know, we are precious moments, Hallmark people, given to trust our emotions and our feelings rather than the Word of God that Christ himself has sown. And at every turn, we're told to, you know, if it feels good, do it. Indulge the flesh over and over again. Rather than, what does the Bible say? Rather than indulge the flesh, what does the Bible say? Die to the flesh. Die to the flesh. To actually not do the thing that God has forbidden. That fundamental piece of the Christian religion is just almost nowhere today. That there are some things that you and I can't do. Even though we really, really want to in our heart, we can't do. So then we have the seed that has fallen on rocky soil. Hold on, I'll be back. Fallen on rocky soil. And what is rocky soil? Rocky soil is, well, it's shallow soil. Right? That's what rocky soil. It's soil that, you know, it doesn't have much depth. Where we live, we've got rocky soil, right? There's solid rock underneath, and we have just a little bit of soil. This sort of heart has a shallow hearing of the gospel, right? This is your faith built on feelings. And I was just talking, faith on feelings and emotivism is a faith that has no root to anchor it down. Shallow soil produces worship that looks exactly like the rest of the world, right? Rock concerts with simple, repetitive songs with a backbeat that say little about what God has done or is doing. And it cultivates Christians who are, of course, a mile wide, but how deep are they? An inch. And I can prove this to you, that almost every time in one of these congregations that some scandal happens, with their cult of personality pastor, you know, preacher man, or whatever they call him. You know, they built so much faith around this one person, when he either leaves or is caught doing something that he shouldn't be doing, what happens? Whole congregation scatters, and they're lost, falls apart. Because rocky, shallow soil is completely unable to endure hardship of any kind, right? Any kind, it just cannot do it. Now pay attention to the when, right? When it is that the plant runs into trouble here in the gospel. It's not until the sun rises and it scorches the plant that it withers away and it dies. Now what this means is that the rocky soil people, right? Their hearts are rocky soil, right? They don't have deep roots. right, means that they don't fall away until they actually face the heat, right? Something comes at them and they can't endure it, right? This could be regarding anything, right? A whole host of things. But it really does seem to happen more and more today with regard to moral issues, right? You know, your friends all believe this way about that issue. Everyone else in your circle believes that way about this issue, right? And you have no deep roots, right? You have nothing deeper than that, right? You have no courage. You have no fortitude to stand against it and on the side of Jesus Christ. And so what do? You fail. And why is this? It's because the soil of your heart is shallow. It is rocky. It's not completely hardened, not yet, but it's on its way to compaction. And the seed of the gospel that has burst forth in you to new life shrivels and it dries up because it has no deep well from which to draw. Then we've got the seed that falls among the thorns. And the thorns are the things in this life that can strangle the gospel among us. You know what they are. House payments, car payments, retirement portfolios, having nicer rust and moth garbage than our neighbors, right? All those things that keep us from the Word of God and the sacrament every time it's available, every time that it's offered here in the principal service of Christ Lutheran Church on Sunday, right? That's the thorns. And I'll just go ahead and say it because next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. If your plans for Super Bowl Sunday keep you from the divine service, where Jesus Christ has promised you that he would be here for you in your mercy, right? You got to prepare, you got to cook stuff, and you're just like, nah, forget it, Jesus, I'm good. Where you literally choose between the arena, right? The Colosseum over Christ, over coming to Christ and receiving him in the Eucharist, you are this soil. You are this soil. So, I expect to see all of you here next Sunday. I know where you live, and I don't really care about either team in the Super Bowl, so I might show up. No, I'm just kidding. I would even say that there's this certain dark irony in it, because our earliest brethren chose the Colosseum too, right? They chose to be martyred there for the sake of this word, of this seed, this gospel. And if you want to know if God has sown the gospel of the Son in thorny soil with you, then just ask yourself, what is it that's keeping you from worship? What is it that's getting in the way, that's choking you and keeping you from him? Because what you need to do is identify it. By God, identify it. Right? Uncover what's strangling the word of God in your life. And then by Christ, rip it out. Right? Rip it out, hack at it, cut it off, slice it, do whatever you've got to do before it chokes you to death, because it will. It will. And again, the culture of death that we live in, of course, is not conducive to the word being fruitful. We've got so many other things, right, taking our attention away from where it ought to be. So many other things that sap the nutrients out of the plant. Right, takes our energy, right? Work, school, family, social lives, worry, anxiety, you know, that's a big one. And on and on and on we go. Never slowing down, right? Always, always on the go and doing, to where the simplicity of a parent teaching their child the doctrines of Jesus Christ, that has become foreign. Too many people. Even in our churches, thorns threaten to choke, where You know, we become more concerned about programs and prosperity, and heaven forbid, the gospel of social justice, right, over and against the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing him with the world, of evangelizing, like Lloyd was talking about earlier, of recognizing the face of Christ in the face of the fallen, the downtrodden, the outcast, the homeless, the people that Jesus Christ calls us to. And if the church in our land dies, the likely cause will be that it was strangled to death by its own brambles and thorny riches, right? The sun being blotted out from above by all that we have allowed to surround us and to grow up all around us. Lastly, there's the good seed, the good soil, rather. And here's the thing about soil. And if you know anything about gardening, soil is always dead, right? Soil of any kind, any soil is dead. All of the potential for life and vitality, for growth, rests in the seed alone, not in the soil. So we think we would be better, more discerning gardeners, right? That some people are better, and some people are more deserving than others. The truth of God's word is that all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve are dead on arrival, right? All of us are unworthy. All are born into this world chained to sin, enslaved to sin. The soil is utterly dead. It's just made out of dead stuff. And you and I can do nothing to break these chains, to justify ourselves before God, to make ourselves alive and worthy. It must be God who does the work, right? The divine artisan who takes this lifeless lump of soil, this lump of clay, and does what? Breathes life into it again. And makes it into something more beautiful than anything else in all of creation, more beautiful than even the angels. The master gardener who takes this seed and spreads it indiscriminately. And so oddly, it's death that is the medium where the seed bursts forth into life and grows and flourishes and bears fruit in, by, and through you. For unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it does not bear fruit. But if it dies, it does bear much fruit, Jesus says. And so the only soil in the parable where the gospel bears fruit is dead, plowed under, and broken down soil. Deep soil. This is soil that can say with St. Paul, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But the soil of the human heart does now plow and cultivate itself, does it? No. What plows the soil of the human heart? Lutherans should know this. It's the law of God plows the human heart. It breaks us up, harrows us over, and tills us under, right? If the word is going to bear fruit in us, this must happen. You can't continue to break God's law over and over again and expect anything good of your life. The good news is that God does not leave the field to lie fallow. The sower sows the seed relentlessly, abundantly, and all over the place. The word is preached whether men like it or not, whether they listen to it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether you're staring at your phone right now or not. The divine sower plants the word of Jesus on all types of soil, all types of soil. Which one are you? So this parable calls for patience on the part of the church. We baptize, we preach the apostolic word of God, we call men to repentance, we call to follow after Jesus. Seemingly few hear it. Much of it bounces off of hardened hearts. Some of it gets a shallow, superficial hearing by people who are more concerned about the way of the world and what the world thinks of them than what Jesus thinks about them. And some, the word gets choked out by riches or a thousand other cares in this life. Hearts grow cold. People fall away. We stop trusting the word and start doing things our own way. We try to make this word that is so precious to us more palatable, more relevant, less offensive, more entertaining. And in so doing, we change the word into something completely different, something more in line with who? Me. Me. And how I want it to be. But in doing this, we reject the word of God, the promised seed of Eve, whose name is Jesus. And yet, the promise in all of this is the same as it was yesterday, today, and will be forever. It is the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word who is Jesus himself among us, here in this place, in his mercy. He is sent out and he never returns, ever returns empty. He always accomplishes that which he sets out to do. Christ is here in this place, watering and feeding, fertilizing his beloved into life, as he has promised he would. Do not be of such weak constitution that you would allow a wall of thorns, of rocks, of weeds to keep you ever from coming to this man, Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, our earliest brothers and sisters did not. In fact, they ran straight to the Colosseum and to their own death to meet Christ. Run to him where and when he may be found, because there will be a day when he will not be. In Jesus' name, amen.